Pastor has kind of set up Psalm 91 as being our theme chapter for the time of this virus and all that we're dealing with. And so if you have your Bible, I'd like you to read along with me. I'm going to be reading from Psalm 91, and we'll do that, and then we'll get into some other studies tonight on trusting God. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May God bless the reading of his word, and I trust that it will be an encouragement to you. I know some of you have been cooped up at home all week long and days, and you're wondering, how long is this going to go on? Well, really, none of us know. We know our president and others are discussing these things. We've heard reports from our governor. We've heard reports from our mayor. And they're all working feverishly to try to give us some good information. The biggest thing that we can do is fervently pray for one another and be an encouragement to each other. Now, earlier today, I sent out an email to the folks in our church congregation. And in that email, I forwarded along some notes for you to follow along tonight in our study on trusting God. I printed them out here. If you have an iPad, I was also able to download it, and you can get it right there on your iPad, and you can follow along on your iPad. But the ideas and the guide for the study that we've been doing comes from Jerry Bridges' book, Trusting God. Now, this is an old copy that I bought way back in 1998. I think they have a new copy out, and there's actually another a study guide that goes with it as well. But the title is Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, and I found this to be very helpful to me at several times in my life when I've gone through some struggles. I've had personal struggles. In Guam, we had to go through things like typhoons when we were out there in that ministry. I grew up in tornado land, snowstorms, sicknesses, illnesses, and even the death of loved ones. And it's good to know that we can trust God even when everything around us seems to be falling apart. And we have a good God, and He loves us, and He wants what's best for us. So let's look at the study here tonight, if you would, and follow along. In Job chapter 5, verse 7, it says there, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." If you've ever been around a campfire, you know that's just natural. It just flows when you light up a log or light up paper. It just flows up, floats off into the sky. That's just the way trouble is. It's a natural thing. It just happens as we go through life. In this world, we're going to have tribulation, and we need to be ready for it, and we need to know how to trust God in those times. Right now, in the state of California, I think I saw, let's see, the numbers were 2,998 people are confirmed with this disease, and 65 have died. In the United States, 65,778 are confirmed as having the virus, and 942 have died in the United States. Globally, 467,593 with 21,000 deaths. And that can be very frightening. And you can, and these statistics are going to be changing from time to time, and we'll see things have to be updated. There are a couple of responses that we can have to this. One, this is terrifying. We're all going to die. And I've seen some people who have gone into that panic mode. And, you see it in the grocery store. This incident is the first time in my life I've ever gone into Costco and literally seen people running through the store to get things. I've seen panic buying at Christmas time, but nothing like this. So we know this is an unusual time. But then there's the other response. I've seen other people say, well, it's no big deal. There's 7.5 to 8 million people in the Bay Area. There have only been a few that have died. It's not going to affect me. And they kind of ignore it. We know that the mayor and the governor and other people are pleading with us, don't go to the beaches, don't congregate with your friends, observe these physical distancing thing. You can socially be involved through internet and emails and texting and FaceTime and all these other things that we're doing. That's fine, phone calls. And we should be an encouragement to one another. But sometimes we overdo it. Pardon me. My wife and I have been able to get out and do some walking, but you need to stay close to home, but you need to be very careful, wash your hands, and do what's right. But ultimately, no matter what we do, we have to understand that it is God that's going to keep us safe, and we need to put our trust in Him. We don't want to go to one extreme or the other. We don't want to be foolish, nor do we want to panic. The Scripture has a way to do this. We learn to choose to trust God. That's harder for some people than it is for others. I know that if you grew up in a situation where you were abused by a parent or a family member, or you have had other people that have mistreated you, it's harder for you to trust. But I can assure you that our God is not going to do that to you. And He loves you, and He has what's best for you, and you can put your trust in Him. Be thankful that there are some people in your life that you know care about you and are looking out for you. Be thankful for your family and your friends who are there near you. But more importantly, be grateful for the God that you can trust, and be willing to put your faith in Him. There's a central idea that you'll see in the notes that I've given to you, and the idea of trust. You see, God is completely sovereign, He is infinite in His wisdom, He is perfect in His love, and He is worthy of our trust. That's kind of really where we want to focus tonight as we look at these principles that we want to deal with. So let's examine this idea of trust. You see, trust in God is needed in times of adversity. We absolutely have it. We have no one else that we can lean on. There's no one else that we can count on. You cannot trust in yourself. People will disappoint you. Some people get sick. Other people are not going to be able to be of help to you. But we need to know that we can be trusting in God. Even when we know in our heads that God is completely sovereign, sometimes it's hard for us to believe it in our hearts. And sometimes that's aggravating because we know it to be true that God is good, and yet we find ourselves sometimes getting sick, like my pastor friend from Southern California. He's serving God, he's trying to pastor a church, and yet he has just recently been diagnosed with the COVID virus. And that is hard to understand, but we know that God is accomplishing something in His perfect will through this situation, and I'm thankful that that is the way that my friend is even responding. He's resting and trusting in God. What a testimony that is. Sunday night after church, we went home, and my wife and I turned on the television. And when we turned on the television, we were flipping through the channels, and we came up on, we were surprised to come up on a television program where Shelley Hamilton was being interviewed. You've heard the song, "Rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I'm tried," and whatever the other it is, "I shall come forth as gold." And I'm sorry that I've forgotten that line. But the idea here is these are great and good and godly people. They put out hymn books, they put out recordings, they put out all sorts of music that has been a blessing to us. And they continue to do so. Matter of fact, I think Shelley and some of her family members and part of the Majesty Music team are going to be with us in San Francisco in October for our homecoming time. But they were interviewing Shelley, and she was giving a testimony of the difficulties and the heartache that she's gone through. Many of you know that Ron Hamilton, his nickname is Patch the Pirate, and he's put out recordings for children all over the place. My wife and I actually heard Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton, and Shelley on our first date years ago when we were young people in our church at church Valentine's banquet. They came and spoke, and that was before Ron got the cancer that caused him to have his eye removed. That was this timing around the song and the story behind the hymn, Rejoice in the Lord. He learned that he could trust God through that difficulty. But that wasn't the only difficulty that Shelley Hamilton and their family has had to go through. They had a son named Jonathan, who was a very talented musician. And somewhere in his late teen years, I don't know the exact timing and all of this, he had a real bad problem with a skin disease or something, and he had to take some medication. And that medication changed his entire personality. It made him depressed. It led him to long times of sitting in laying in his bed. Even as an adult, I think the last 15 years of his life, he had to live with his parents because he just could not function. Now, during some moments of lucidity and moments of clarity, he was able to write some songs, some that have been a blessing to us. In our church, we've sung, You Are Always Good, You Are Always Good to Me. That was written by their son, Jonathan. And unfortunately, after this time of disease, it ended up being mental illness, schizophrenia, he ended up taking his life. And here Shelley and Ron had to deal with that. And now, Ron Hamilton is diagnosed with dementia. And he is slowly forgetting things. He's forgetting his family. He's forgetting the things. And he's written so many songs. He's been such a blessing. And now that is being taken away from him. Now, I was personally blessed as I watched the interview with Shelley and how there were times of tears as she was being interviewed, but she constantly displayed this trust in God. And she explained that trust is really the greatest act of worship that we can give, because we are telling God, we know you are good, we know you are wise, we know you are loving, we know that you are perfect in every way, we know that you are worthy of our trust. And it's not only an act of worship, it's a tremendous testimony before unsaved people and weaker brethren that need to be drawn to the Lord. Now, we need to be examining, we need to trust God in times of adversity. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's a hard thing for us to understand. Many people ask that question. Well, the bottom line is we live in a sin-cursed world. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. It says, For the anxious longing of the creation awaits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption under the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. All creation, including our sin-cursed bodies, are going to be groaning and looking for the time when Jesus comes and rules and reigns over this earth and once again establishes righteousness in this world. But until then, we're going to have trouble. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said to his disciples as he was facing the time of his passion and going to the cross that we'll be observing here in a few days. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus is in charge of all of this. God the Father is in charge of everything that happens in our lives, and we can trust him. You know, the truth is, we do not know what the future holds. I don't know how long this is going to last. A pastor called me last night and asked me, How long do you think this is going to go on? I said, I really don't know. I know we have some who want to push to get us back to work faster, and others are complaining and saying, no, that's dangerous and we need to wait. We're just going to have to trust that God will give them wisdom to make wise decisions and follow along as best we can. And may the Lord protect us as we go through all of this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. It's hard for us to know what's going on. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, he's made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. In other words, we don't know what God is doing. We don't know how long this is going to last, but we can trust him because his timing is perfect and his way is best. So trusting God is something we need to do during times of adversity, but also trusting God is based in his strength and his character. I've heard someone say we need to trust in times like these, and left it open-ended and not really who we should trust. Well, we should trust in God because he's the only one who's ultimately trustworthy. Genesis chapter 18, verse 25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Of course he will. God surrounds his own with loving kindness. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 10, this is a good verse you ought to memorize. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. God loves us, and he's not going to let anything happen to us that is not in accordance with his perfect will. So we need to be willing to trust him for that. God is wiser than us in all that he does. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. The Amplified Bible says, lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. And then it goes on and says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. God understands what you and I don't. Since he is God and you are not, you need to trust him. Your understanding of the situation, my understanding of the situation, is so inferior to the ultimate God of the universe. Psalm 18, verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler or a shield to all who trust in him. God is loving. God is wise, but God is also powerful enough and has enough resources to take us through adversity. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly hosts bow down before you. In Job chapter 41, verse 11, God reminds us that whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. There's a song we used to sing, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills. And he is my father, and I can trust him. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, Pastor Ron Perry just recently preached on some of this at a men's retreat that we went to up at Wolf Mountain Christian Camp. Pray for those people, by the way. They're having a hard time up there because of not having camps, and their income is being cut back pretty badly. So be remembering them. But Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 says, thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Listen, I know right now there's a lot of people worried about their businesses, they're worried about their income, they're worried about how they're going to survive. Trust God. He's going to take care of his own. It may not be with all the luxuries we've enjoyed, and we have had a good run of luxury, but he's going to take care of his own, and we can trust him. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 16 says, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. So God is loving, God is wise, God is powerful. Fourthly, God is worthy of our trust. Even in the worst of life's circumstances. Several years ago, Chris and I were working at a Christian camp up in Wisconsin. And we had a high hill with some trees up there. And in all of that, we weren't the ones that designed it, but a zip line was set up there. A cable that went down the side of this hill and down into a big open field down below. And we had to set up a brake on that cable to stop people. You were put into a harness, and then they put on calipers, and there were wheels on that were hooked to the cable, and then you'd jump off of a platform, and down you would go down the hill. And as you went flying down the hill, there was somebody down at the bottom who had a wooden block that was built around the cable. And it was the brake to stop you. It was attached to a long bungee cord, and the person on the bottom was to hold the bungee cord, slide the block up so that it could be the brake to stop you from hitting a tree, basically, at the bottom of the hill. And Chris and I took turns going down, and she went first, and she came flying down, and my poor little delicate wife, I had no trouble at all just stopping her. I just held the brake, and she came to a stop quite quickly and very safely. And then I said, well, I'd like to go down. And so I went up, and she went down, and then she decided that she was going to be the brake to stop me. And you can kind of imagine what happens. Now, you'd be nice. You'd be nice. I know I'm a little larger than she is. But I came down that hill, and she had wrapped that bungee cord around her waist, and for a long time we had to nurse the wounds around her waist. But she did stop me, but she also took a ride across that field when that break and I met. Now, God is bigger than my wife, and God is bigger than you, and God is powerful enough to take care of you through your struggles. He loves you. My wife loved me. She didn't want me to be hurt. My wife had good intentions, and my intentions were not to hurt her. But the fact is, God knows what he's doing, and at that particular time, probably neither one of us did. But we can trust God because he knows what he's doing, and he's worthy of our trust. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." That means God the Father and God the Son are both looking out for you. And then as Christians, we have the added benefit of the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us and guides us as we go through our lives. Psalm 121 is a great hymn. It's a great hymn. It's a psalm, but it was written to music and David. And all I read today about the size of the orchestra there at the temple. There must have been beautiful music at the temple. Psalm 121 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." So remember, you can trust God. He loves you. He knows what he's doing. He's powerful enough to take care of us. He's worthy of our trust. So that's kind of an examination of what trust is and who we're trusting in and what we're basing our faith in. It's not faith in faith. It's not trust in trust. It's definitely not trust in us. And we cannot really trust other people, but we can trust God. Now, developing trust, that's a hard thing. If you have a hard time with this, I know you got to learn how to develop it. The moral will of God given to us in the Bible is rational and reasonable. It's not hard for us to understand that if we disobey God's clear written commands, that there's going to be judgment. That's hard. That's not hard. And so what's harder is for when we run into those times when we think we're doing what's right, like my friend Christian Torres down in Southern California, doing what's right. And like my brother who had cancer in Canada, a church planter, and passed away from cancer. It's hard for us sometimes to trust God when things like that are going on. But sometimes bad things happen to us, and that is to push us towards God, to put us in a place where we realize we're at the end of ourselves and we need to learn to trust in God. It's oftentimes more difficult to trust God than it is to obey Him. Trust involves the unknown. Obedience is, God says do this, and so you do that. But trust is, God hasn't spoken on an issue. We never even heard about the coronavirus until just recently. This is something that is totally bizarre. In all of my life, I've never seen anything quite like this happen, where so much of the world is in turmoil. But this is times exactly what we need to trust God. We don't have an exact verse that has the word coronavirus in it and what the solution is. There's no remedy written right out in the scripture. We just have to trust God to help us to get through this. Trusting is hard. One boy wrote a book, a devotional, and he said, if God loves me so much, why can't I get my locker open? There are things that happen in our life that frustrate us, and we just don't know what to do with it. But as we learn to trust God in the small things, then we're able to trust Him more in the big things. You've heard me preach a message, some of you have, on why am I so uncomfortable. We've all been through struggles. And 1 Corinthians talks about the fact that we have to be comforted in all of our troubles. And why does God comfort us? So that we can comfort other people. One day we will look back at the coronavirus, and we will look back upon this time, and we will be able to have testimony after testimony after testimony of how God supplied our needs, how God met every concern that we had, how we could trust Him through all of this. But we've got to be faithful and stick with it until then. We must learn to trust when we don't understand. Now, how do you start? Start by obeying God's clear commands. In our track rack, we have some tracks, and I went over yesterday to look through those things at the church, and I was reminded of the Ten Commandments. And that's where we can start. Where do we start? Just the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are commandments that deal with our relationship with God. Then honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Our relationship between men. If we just obey those things, God is going to bless us for obedience that way. That's a simple thing. We can go to another passage of Scripture in the New Testament that has some other simple commands for us that we can obey. In Philippians chapter 4, and verses 4 through 9, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, even when you're penned up with your kids at home or with your parents at home. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. God's paying attention, and He will reward us when we have the right spirit. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I've been telling people it's not a verse, but I kind of quote it like a verse, 2 Daniel 1:1, thou shalt not freak out. Be anxious for nothing. Don't let these things get to you. Take your requests and your concerns and your fears to God, and let Him encourage you. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And verse 8 is a great verse, especially when you let your mind go crazy when you hear the news and you hear all these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Think on the right things, and God will help you with your fears and anxieties. Now, you grow by choosing to trust God when it doesn't make sense. Again, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. even when it doesn't make sense. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 34 says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And yes, we're in the middle of a lot of trouble, but we'll get through this, and the sun will shine again, and God is still on the throne, and we can trust him. Now, we got to learn from the example of those who failed to trust God. In Psalm 78, we see the children of Ephraim, and you ought to read these verses. I'm not going to go through them all right now. But in Psalm 78, verses 9 through 21, it talks about how the children of Ephraim, they turned back in the day of battle. They didn't keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his love. They forgot his deeds. They continued to sin against him. They rebelled against the Most High. They put God to the test. They dared God to take care of them. That's why we need to be careful as we go through this struggle and this virus. They spoke against God. God, why did you do this? Can you really take care of us? Of course he can. But verse 22 says, ultimately the problem was they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Now that's a choice. You have a choice to make in the middle of this. Will you trust God or won't you? Nobody can determine that for you but you yourself. Will you choose to trust God? Understand that trust is the foundation stone upon which all of God's blessings rest. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Acknowledge that God knows more than you do in all of this. Well, I'm glad we have very smart people in government who are trying, met doctors and politicians and political leaders, city leaders, government leaders, who are doing the best that they can. But really, God knows even more than they do. Isaiah 55, verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable are his ways. God ultimately controls every event that happens in our world. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37, it says, who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Again, in our track rec, we have this good little track, why did this happen to me? And I was just looking through that because I've heard a lot of people asking us, why is this happening to us? Well, here are four things that God wants us to know in trial. First of all, he wants you to feel your need for help. Secondly, he wants you to realize your inability to help yourself. He brings you to the end of yourself. Thirdly, he wants you to abandon all hope of obtaining relief from other people. Other people may fail you. But finally, he wants you to cast yourself on him and ask him to save you. And he promises that he will. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud. So don't get arrogant and pushing your way through this. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. Remember, nothing comes into your life without God's permission. Recently, Dr. Bob Jones III was here and spoke at our annual meeting. And among those things that he said came from John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. You know, you're safe in the hand of your sovereign God. John chapter 10, verse 28 says, I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one. So you as a believer are in the twofold grip of Almighty God, and he's going to care for you. there's nothing going to happen to you. You can't fall out of God's hands, and nothing's going to get to you that doesn't pass through the hands of God. I think that's the way Dr. Bob put it. So we need to remember that God's in control. Recently, I got a text message from a friend, a high school buddy, who's going through some difficulties in his home church back in the Midwest. And he said, it's like the devil's in charge of our church. And I wrote him back. I said, no. I said, God's got a leash on that rascal, and he's not in charge. And that comes right out of Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, the Lord said to Satan, behold, and when Satan wanted to go after Job, because he thought it was unbelievable that Job could trust God and love God so much. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all the, no. In Job chapter 1, verse 12, then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord, and then he went and attacked Job's home. And we saw all the things that happened, his wealth taken away, and all these things that happened to him. And yet the Bible says Job continued to trust God. So Satan went back to God and said, well, I'm going to go after him not only for his things, I'm going to go after him physically, and I'm going to try to stop him, and I'm going to try to get him to quit worshiping you and trusting you. But in Job chapter 2, verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, behold, he's in your power, only spare his life. And you know the trials that Job went through, the boils and the difficulty and the illness and the sickness. And yet Job said he would continue to trust in God. I think the hardest part of the whole thing is when his friends went to comfort him and opened their mouths and gave him all kinds of trouble. But ultimately, Job kept his trust in the Lord, and in the end, God rewarded Job abundantly and gave him twice as much as he had, in great health and wealth. And all of that. Now, we don't believe in a health and wealth salvation. We trust God no matter what comes. And if he takes us home to heaven, that's not so bad. We get to be with him for all of eternity. But God spared Job's life and gave him so much back. There's more here we can have. I'm looking at the time. I guess we'll keep going for a while. Where are you going to go? You can't leave anyway. So you might as well stay. This is wonderful for a preacher to have a captive audience. I hope that you don't mind going. Don't leave for too long to get you something to snack on, but stick with us here, if you will. The truth is, you know, you're not going to die until it's God's time for you to do so. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39, it says, see now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. It is I who put to death and give life. You're alive and indestructible as long as you're in the center of God's will. And not even a virus is going to take you unless it's God's will for that to happen to you. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6, we see people who are going through tribulation and they wanted to die. And this is what it says, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die and death flees from them. Why? Because their life is in the hand of God. And we're indestructible until God is ready to bring us home. Now, this is a real important point here. I hope that you get this. Anything bad that God designs in your life or allows in your life, which drives you to him, is really a good thing. It really is. Let me say that again. Anything bad that happens in your life that drives you to God is a good thing. In Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, Hezekiah, the king there, had been going through some struggles, and he acknowledged this in Isaiah 38:17. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. He went through struggles, and it drew him to God, and God rescued him. Recently, my wife and Karen Ma'alona went down to a seminar for ladies on women helping women. And the teacher is Debbie Pride, a dear friend of ours, a wonderful lady. She'll be with us here at some point, you know, I think in 2021. But she's a wonderful, godly lady who's recently lost her husband to COPD, a lung disease that just made it impossible for him to breathe. And she went through a hard time, and she's grieving her husband. And she's asked the question that many people ask in times like this is, why does this happen to me? And then she got thinking about that, and she said, you know, we live in a sin-cursed world. Why shouldn't it happen to me? Why not me? Maybe that's the question we better be asking. Why shouldn't it happen to me? Do you understand that every day we have is a gift of God? Every day we have is the result of the grace of God. My buddy Kevin Brownfield has preached at our church. Also, he's always an encouragement to me. I sometimes will call him up and say, how you doing, brother? And he said, better than I deserve. And what he's talking about is the fact that you and I both, all of us, deserve to die and go to hell because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death. But it's the gift of God that gives eternal life. So every day that we're alive, we have the opportunity either to come to know him as the Savior. And if you have not yet come to know Christ as Savior, this is the day of salvation. You better take care of this. You don't know how long you're going to have. You don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And if you are a believer, we have much to look forward to. So let's rejoice in the Lord. Why do bad things happen to good people? Someone asked that. And R.C. Sproul Jr. replied, he said, that only happened once. And he volunteered. The only good person who's ever lived is Jesus Christ. He was the only sinless one who ever lived. And yet we know he went to the cross. In John chapter 19, Pilate says to Jesus, don't you know that I have the power over your life? And Jesus' reply was, you have no power over this situation except it's given to you from my Father up above. And he submitted to the will of God, and he went to the cross. And it seemed like a bad thing, going to the cross. But what good came of it? The salvation that's available to everyone in the world. As Christians also, God sometimes allows, we're going to wrap this up here now. As Christians, God sometimes allows bad things to happen in our lives, so we will be returned to a life of good obedience to him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. My mother and father didn't spank the neighborhood kids. They wanted to sometimes, but they only spanked their own. They sent the neighbor kids out. They got rid of them. They sent them away when they were in trouble. But our parents spanked us, and they disciplined us for our good so that we would do what's right. Verse 7 says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? That if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of God, and sometimes the things that seem so painful are really for our good. And we can really trust God. Remember now, ultimately we've got to go back to that fact that God is completely sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He's infinite in his wisdom. He's perfect in his love, and he's worthy of our trust. Is that where you are tonight? If not, you need to talk to the Lord and take some time and work on this. Now, behind you, I have in the notes that I have given to you, I have given you some things that you can do on your own. And you've got time, and you're in your homes, and you really can't go anywhere. If you would like a copy of this and you don't have a copy of this, then I would encourage you to just drop us an email at online@hamiltonsquare.org. And we'll get it to you in the email so that you can have these things to do on your own. And maybe you can go through this study again on your own. I hope it'll be of help to you. But there's some things about how to trust God, verses to memorize. And there's a good song in the back there that you can sing together as your family. It's really very simple. And I won't sing it for you right now. You don't want to hear that, especially because my voice is kind of given away. But I do want to pray with you, and then we'll bring our broadcast to a close. But before we do that, after the prayer time, we'll take a little bit of time. If you want to email a question, a comment, a concern, a prayer request, send it to online@hamiltonsquare.org, or you could text me at 574-238-3857. Again, online@hamiltonsquare.org. Pastor Kelly will be checking the email, and I will check the text messages right here on my phone, 574-238-3857. Well, let's pray, and then we'll take a little time to answer any questions or to respond to your comments, okay? Father, we thank you so much that you're a good God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you are perfect in what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we don't always understand this, and we sure don't understand why the whole world right now seems to be in such turmoil. But if this turns us back to you, we're thankful for it. We pray, Lord, that through this, some people will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. That the gospel that is being shot out all over the world today through the internet and through broadcasts from churches, Bible-preaching churches from all over the country and around the world, will bear fruit that has never been seen before. We ask, God, that you will also put a hedge of protection around your people, just like you did in the days of Egypt when you put your hedge about the children of Israel during those plagues of Egypt. Lord, we are resting entirely in you, knowing that you are the only one to whom we can turn in days like these. Protect our finances, protect our health. Be with those right now, some who we know are struggling, some who are struggling with the illness, Lord. Help them to keep their eyes on you. And Lord, if you're going to take them home, I pray that you help them to have a faithful testimony all the way to the end. Comfort those who are hurting. And we'll praise and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name.